messenger, the angel Gabriel, to come to her and to tell her that she was going to give a child. And remember that in a natural human way, she responded in this way. "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." And the angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." How will this be? "The Holy Spirit will come upon you." That's how the power of God will overshadow you. So again, no Holy Spirit, no Christmas. So we thank God that Christmas means that Jesus has come into our lives. But when Jesus was completing his mission on this earth, and it's the three chapters of the Gospel of John, John chapter 14, 15, 16, that really he sat down with his disciples and said, I'm going back to the Father in heaven, but I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and that's how you're going to experience me, and you're going to be empowered by me to be witnesses to this earth. So my question to you this morning is the same as that of the Apostle Paul, who asked about a dozen men in that Greco-Roman city called Ephesus. And that question that he asked is the question that I'm asking you this morning, and it is this: Have you received the Holy Spirit? And we read that in Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 8. And you've got that reference in your notes. That passage is there. If you want to turn in your Bible, you can go ahead and turn there and read along with me. Some of the scriptures that I have are going to be up on the screen. A couple of them I'm just going to read without having them up on the screen. This is one of them. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 8. Here's the narrative. It says, "And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus." So the Holy Spirit is invading the Greco-Roman world, where Greece and the Roman Empire were influencing the whole world. Now the good news of Jesus is influencing those nations that are influencing the whole world. And as a result, here we are today, 2,000 years later, still knowing Jesus and knowing him more, all because of the work of the Holy Spirit. So it says, "There he found some disciples." Verse 2, it says, "And he said to them, 'Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?'" Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? Notice the intense desire on the part of the Apostle Paul, the conscientiousness that he has to make sure that those people who believe in Jesus have received the experience of the Holy Spirit, have received the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. It says, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" And listen to their very sad response. And they said, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And we made reference last week that there's a lot of churches like that. We know that theologically all churches, whether Catholic or Protestant, Episcopalian, Baptist, whatever they are, all of them agree that God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But in experience, how many of them know God as Father? They might know the name Jesus, but do they know God as Abba, Father? And do they know Holy Spirit? And so the Holy Spirit is very much unknown in so many places. And here they're saying, we don't even know that there is a Holy Spirit. And then in verse 3 it says, "And he said to them, 'Into what then were you baptized?'" They said, "Into John's baptism." So he realizes they weren't even baptized in the name of Jesus. They had only heard about the prophet John the Baptist and his call to repentance. They didn't know about faith in Jesus, and let alone knowing about the Holy Spirit. And so he said to them, "Into what were you baptized?" They said, "John's baptism." And then it says, "And Paul said, 'John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is Jesus.' On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all, and he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God." So to have spiritual power, to pray in other languages, heavenly languages, earthly languages, we'll talk about that, to prophesy, to boldly proclaim and persuade people people's need for Jesus. All of this is what's happening through the Holy Spirit in this passage of Scripture. But I love this expression, baptism, because there's a thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? I didn't make that up. Okay? And no denomination made that up. No ecclesiastical body came up with the word baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's Jesus, it's the apostles, it's the Word of God that gives us that expression, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We'll see it in a moment. But notice that they were baptized in water, and then they were baptized in the Holy Spirit. I love that expression because baptism in water is very tangible. You can see. You go down in the water, you're immersed, you're covered in this water, and the expression of your experience of the Holy Spirit is being immersed, covered with the Holy Spirit, just like you are with the water of this life. You are immersed in the water of that life, okay? Of the eternal life, of the spiritual life. And it's a very, very powerful thing. And so I'm asking you this morning, have you received the Holy Spirit? Do you know what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is? Not just mentally, but experientially. And if you have, is it a past long ago experience? Or are you experiencing it today, okay? On a regular basis. And so that's really an intro to where we're going. To really set us up, to have us all thinking, am I experiencing the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit? You see that in your notes. Last week we talked about the person of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes we only think of the Holy Spirit as a power, but remember, the Holy Spirit is personal, and he just happens to be powerful, okay? So we talked about the Holy Spirit is your best friend, but he's also your most powerful friend. And so the reality is that when you come to know Holy Spirit, you have a friend that is like no other friend, but you also have a friend who is the most powerful friend that you could possibly have. And you can actually be immersed into Holy Spirit, immersed into his personhood, into his power, and it's transforming of human life. And it'll have some manifestations that'll come with it. But I want to talk about the manifestations because some people consider this spooky church. I'm just going to be honest with you. When you use the words Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, you know, you just immediately are like, wait, that's not concrete. That's not like life that I've experienced on a normal basis. And I would say to you, yes, it's not normal, okay, for your life, normal life experience. But it doesn't mean that it's just something that you've got to be afraid of. Remember when we talked about Jesus walking on the water and his disciples thought he was a ghost? And he said to them, it's me, okay? So the reality is that they were attracted to Jesus instead of being repelled by him, even though it was outside of their experience. Because he said, it's me. Now there are some things that happen under the guise of what is called Holy Spirit, okay, what is termed Holy Spirit, that I don't know that the Lord can actually say, this is me, okay? And there are things that happen that people are doing that are so-called manifestations of the Holy Spirit, and it just, I don't know that the Lord's saying, that's me. I think he's saying, that's a weird person, okay? I still love them, but they're weird, they need healing, you know, let them, you know, they're off, okay? But the reality is, and by the way, if you don't like that I called somebody weird, just know this, I'm weird, okay? And by the way, you're weird, okay? We're all weird at some point in our lives. I love the title of that book, Everyone's Normal Till You Get to Know Them, okay? Because all of us have issues in our lives. We're all, sometimes say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing. That's what grace is for, amen? And the Lord never stops loving us. So we're not going to throw out, there's an expression, and I hope you don't mind it if you're from not this culture, at least your upbringing, you're from this culture now, but we're not raised here. And we have this weird expression, don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. So at the end, when you're ready to throw out the bathwater, don't throw out the baby too. It's a weird expression, I know, now. But what it's saying is this, you know, there are abuses of everything. We mentioned this last week. There's abuse of money. It doesn't mean you stop using money. There's abuse of sex. That doesn't mean that people stop having babies. The reality is that we need to see what is genuine and celebrate that. Can you say amen? All right. So have you received? That's the intro for where we're going. So we're talking about the Holy Spirit as a power, but we're talking about the Holy Spirit as a person who is very powerful. And when we get in touch with the power of the Holy Spirit, we need. I pointed out last week from Acts chapter 10, verse 37 and 38, that Jesus didn't do miracles as God. Remember, Jesus laid ahead that God status, okay? He came in human form, all right? He came as a human, and he did miracles. And in Acts 10, verse 37 and 38, it tells us that the way that Jesus did miracles was through the Holy Spirit. And he made himself human to show us that as humans, we can do the supernatural. So Jesus condescended himself to become human to show us that as a human, you can experience the supernatural power of God. Not just miracles and healings, but life transformation, attitudinal, and whatever it is, you can be shaped into the image of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And so Jesus wanted to set us that example. So he came as a human to say, hey, watch me. And anything that Jesus can do, except for die on the cross and rise from the dead for our sins, and all those other things, we can do it. He said to us, as the Father has sent me, so I am sending you, and I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit so you can do what the works that, that I've called you to do. Can you say amen? My wife, Carol, I'm going to use her as an example. So last Sunday, she's listening to this message, and she's thinking about a friend of hers that she has shared the gospel with numerous times who has never accepted Jesus as her Savior. Like for years, she's been sharing that with her friend. And she listened to the message last week, and she was reminded of the Word of God that it's not our power, it's the Holy Spirit's power. And she started to pray, and she said, God, it's almost like I forgot that it's not me that saves people, it's not me that convinces people of their need for you, it's the Holy Spirit. So I'm just going to pray, I'm just going to give that person to you, Holy Spirit, you do the work, right? And so just like 5 days after that, her friend came to her and said, guess what? This person came to me, who I've known for a long time and have so much respect and appreciation for this person, and they gave me a book. I gotta remember what the book was.
Francis Chan.
Oh, a DVD by Francis Chan. How many of you know Francis Chan, right? All right, so I gave him a, so you know, that's gospel stuff, okay? And so she was given a DVD by Francis Chan, and she said, you know what? Because of how nice that person is, or then Carol said, oh, by the way, we know Francis Chan. If you have any interest in knowing what it means to follow Jesus, to know Jesus, you have a great resource there. The response of her friend was, you know what? I'm going to watch this DVD. I'm going to watch this DVD. Because of the life that I know this person lives and their friendship, I'm actually going to watch it. Carol had no kind of response to something like to that degree before. What I'm saying is at some point we need to let go and let God. We need to let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit can do. We need to pray. That's what Pastor Jessica was saying, that when we pray, Holy Spirit is released. So when you pray, your most powerful, your dearest and nearest and most powerful friend, Holy Spirit. And by the way, when I'm talking about Holy Spirit, we know it's the Spirit of the Father, the Spirit of Jesus. So we're not saying that God is no longer Father, Son, Holy Spirit, but we need to remember He is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen? So you can pray to Father, you can pray to Jesus, you can pray to Holy Spirit. All of them are one God, and we know that. And so when we're praying, we just say, Holy Spirit, I just know that only you can do this work. So I release my friend to your work, to your care, for you to do what you can do and you alone can do. It's not by might, Zechariah 4 said, it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Can you say, come on, can we say amen to that? Amen. All right, so here we go with the Holy Spirit's power. In John chapter 20, verse 19 through 22, we have an expression, and you remember that the Gospel of John starts just like Genesis. In the beginning. In Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning, the Word was God, the Word was with God, the Word was God. And you have this expression of how this all started. And so you've got a continuity of the work of the Holy Spirit. Remember when the earth was dark and void and there was nothing there? It says in John chapter 1 that the Holy Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then when God was ready to create you, did you know God created you? I want all of you to go, I'm amazing. Just say it. Don't worry about being humble right now. It's a statement of truth. Just say, I'm amazing. Just say it, right? Because you're created in the image of God. There's no supercomputer that is even close to what you can do. There's nothing that God created that's like you. So God created us, He breathed in us the breath of life, and He's never stopped wanting to breathe in us. And now He's breathing in us eternal life, and he's breathing into us kingdom life, the power of God, through that same Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? So let's look at this. On the evening of the first day, this is John chapter 20, verse 19, and you've got it there. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews. Now remember, they were Jewish. This is not an anti-Semitic thing. They were Jewish. Jesus was Jewish, okay? And all the people that wrote the Bible, Jewish, okay? So we elevate with the God's calling of the Jewish people, amen? But there was a Jewish group of people who had killed Jesus, crucified him, and now they were afraid because they saw it happen. So they have natural human fear. They're afraid of what's going to happen. And then Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." Don't you love that when Jesus comes into our fear and he just says, "Peace." It's so powerful. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. He showed them the wounds from the cross. And then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." In other words, you'll have the power to set people free from their sins by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you don't allow the Holy Spirit to work through you, you're withholding that opportunity from them. Did you hear that? You're withholding that opportunity from them. Let the Holy Spirit flow through you, and forgiveness for sins will follow. And that means relationship with God. And so you have Jesus with them in the room. So awesome when you've got Jesus with you in the room. And he's with us here by his Spirit. And then he breathes on them and he says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And the peace of God. It's what Pastor Jessica was saying. They didn't just know about the Holy Spirit. At this point, they experienced Holy Spirit. And so what we'll see in the next passage of Scripture is that these are the same people who were told to wait to receive the Holy Spirit. But we learn from this passage when he says, "I'm sending you, receive the Holy Spirit," that there's an empowerment going on. But I think that there's something even more to that when we compare this Scripture in John 20 to this Scripture in Acts chapter 1, verses 3 through 5 and then verse 8. It said he, speaking of Jesus, presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. By the way, he orders us. Did you know that? So get away. Let yourself, this whole thing about you being, nobody can tell you anything. Right? Let that go, because Jesus is the authority in our lives. Amen? He is Lord. And so this whole thing of, "I'm an individual, I do what I want," he made us with free will. We can choose to not receive him, but if you're a follower of his, when he says yes, you say yes. Can you say amen? All right? So he orders them, and they know they're going to follow him because they've learned to trust him. And so he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait, and I love this expression, for the promise of the Father. He's a good Father. For the promise of the Father, which he said, "You heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So I love this, because when Holy Spirit comes to us in salvation, he comes in us. But when he emerges, when we have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, he doesn't just come in us. He comes on us and all around us. He comes underneath us. He comes on us. All around us, he envelops us in himself, in his power, and that's a beautiful experience. And I love the expression there, that you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 8, it says the result of that. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And that's why we make a mistake sometimes as Christians. We hear that word power, and we think that's the whole Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is just a power. But the Holy Spirit is a relationship. He wants to bring you into, remember, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, the communion of the Holy Spirit, and all of that. And it's beautiful, but notice that when he comes in you, he doesn't just give you presence, which is awesome, but he gives you power from his presence. Can you say amen? So you receive this beautiful power of God. And so you have this unique thing where in John chapter 20, he's in the room, he's breathing on them, they receive the Holy Spirit. And then at one point later on when he's eating with them, he prophesies that in a few days you'll receive the gift that my Father promised and be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I believe that this is just one of the reasons why we see a two-encounter experience with the Holy Spirit. Because they had an experience with the Holy Spirit in John chapter 20 where he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit, which is just like in the Genesis creation account. But now a new life is coming into them, spiritual life and all that. They're being reborn. They're being recreated, all of that. But then those same people are called to wait in Jerusalem until they receive this other experience with the Holy Spirit. So you see a two-encounter experience with the Holy Spirit. And this is just one of those places where you can see that there's salvation through the Holy Spirit, but there's also an empowerment that comes through the Holy Spirit. And by the way, there's difference among Christians on what that looks like, what the manifestations are, but I'm going to tell you across the board, I don't care if it's Southern Baptist or Pentecostal, I don't care if it's D.L. Moody who never confessed to speaking in tongues, and those who confess to speaking in tongues, those people who say, you know what, there's a subsequent experience of salvation, of empowerment with the Holy Spirit, and I need it, those are the ones that history tells us are changing the world with the good news of Jesus in a most profound way. I'm just telling you that if you look at the churches and the movements around the globe, I don't care what they call themselves denominationally, when you look at them around the world, that the gospel is advancing in like massive ways. I'm talking about thousands and thousands and millions of people being brought into the kingdom of God. If you've never seen any, for instance, who's the evangelist from, I just met mental block on his name, from Germany that's in Africa.
Reinhard Bonnke.
Reinhard Bonnke. Just Google Reinhard Bonnke and just look at Nigeria. Some of you have seen, raise your hand if you're from Nigeria. You guys are the bomb. I mean, you guys are like absolutely amazing. And but when you see the response and the Holy Spirit, and what I'm saying is that behind those movements is not Reinhard Bonnke, it's the Holy Spirit. Okay? And Reinhard Bonnke's involved, but Reinhard Bonnke would not be able to do that without the infusion of the Holy Spirit of God. That's all I'm saying. So people can differentiate in some of the manifestations of their belief about it. But if you're going to advance the kingdom of God, you've got to have Holy Spirit, amen? You've got to know the power of the Holy Spirit. And so here you've got this other experience. You know, I'm gonna share with you. Can I get up real quick just for one? I gotta lean into this one. I was at National Presbyterian Church. You know what, by the way, Presbyterians, they don't seem to shout like we do. They don't sing as loud, they don't clap as much. At least a lot, most of them. I've noticed it. Have you noticed that? I'm not trying to, you know, it's just what I noticed, okay? And so I'm over there, like a few years ago, and Alpha is there. Nikki Gumbel, all the people from Holy Trinity Church in London. And is it London? Somewhere there. I think it's in London proper, right? Yeah. And so all of them are over there. Joe, you were there. We had not met each other, but we were in that same meeting. And they had this expression where they said, okay, now we've taught about Holy Spirit. Now, let's have a go. And they went like that. Let's have a go with that British accent. Let's have a go. Let's just have a go. And I was raised, you don't just have a go. You got the flesh of God. We're going to pray over you. We're going to pray. That's what I was raised in. But it was the Holy Spirit. We always had to be like, you know, all that. And they just were like, okay, now let's have a go. And they said, people are going to come and pray for you. They're going to put your hand, you know, on your shoulder like this. And they're going to pray, Holy Spirit, please come. And fill this brother, fill this sister. And I watched, and there were, everyone was there. The classical Pentecostals, which is my background, they weren't there except for just a few. They were like, okay, how about you Pentecostals? There were like, I don't know, 10 of us and hundreds of people, but Episcopalians, Presbyterians, Catholics, all of them were there, the priests with their collar. And I watched when they said, let's have a go, Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. And all over the room, people were being baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. People were prophesying, people were speaking boldly, people were speaking in other languages. What I'm saying is there's no boundaries for the Holy Spirit. There's no boundaries for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't even care about that kind of stuff. The Holy Spirit's just like, I want a hungry heart. I want somebody who's open. I'm going to fill them, and they're going to watch this personal relationship and this beautiful power that I'm going to bring into their lives. Amen. All right, so let me get back, make sure that we continue teaching. I like telling stories, but here we go. So I want to point point this out to you. The people that Jesus was telling, go wait in Jerusalem for the power of the Holy Spirit, they already knew power. These were the guys who had been with Jesus for 3 years. They had already been sent out to heal the sick, raise the dead. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Why would he be telling them, wait for the power, wait for the Holy Spirit to be poured out? Because he's leaving. And the way that he comes to us is through Holy Spirit. And so they prayed for 10 days in Acts chapter 2. They just prayed for 10 days. They were worshiping. They were praying. They were sharing together. They were tying down some loose ends. They had one apostle who apostatized. And they were adding that other apostle. All of those things. And then it says, on the day of Pentecost, which was a Jewish feast, and it is a whole story to that, because that's an amazing thing that God chose that day. And you got to know the history of the Jewish festival there to really understand. But it says on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one accord. They were in unity. And it says that the Holy Spirit came in a mighty wind. It was awesome. We'll read that in a minute. But the point is that these people had been with Jesus, and they needed the Holy Spirit. Did you know that Paul says, I speak in tongues more than all of you?
Yeah.
I'm just saying this. If Paul needed the Holy Spirit, I don't want to say I don't need the Holy Spirit. Okay? And so we need to recognize, we need to embrace Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? But we're going to talk about manifestations. The reason why some people get turned off the Holy Spirit is manifestations. They are like too weird for them. Things like, we'll get into that. Even talking in tongues, people are like, okay, this is my bus stop. I'm getting out, okay? I'm not going to speak in tongues. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do it. All right? But I want to, before we get to that, I just want to say that the experience that we're talking about is not just a one-time experience. Because some people go, oh yeah, I've been baptized in the Holy Spirit in 1812. I don't know why I picked that. That's the number we were at war here in this country, in this city. But you know, I went back 40 years ago, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just want to kind of just let you know, this is not a one-time experience. This is an ongoing experience. And if you don't believe it, just read this scripture. In Acts chapter 4, the same people who had received Jesus for 3 years and then received the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, this same group of people are now being persecuted. And they're being told, stop preaching, or we're going to kill you just like we killed Jesus, okay? And what do? In verse, they have a prayer meeting. They go and they start praying, okay? By the way, you got problems? Pray. Amen? That's the way to deal with it, okay? Don't try and solve them all. Let God work in that system. And so, but then, listen to how they pray. Verse 29, and now, Lord, look upon their threats and grant to your servants to continue to speak your word with all boldness, while you stretch out your hand to heal, and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Everyone say, Holy Spirit. And continue to speak the word of God. They continued to speak the word of God with boldness. How did they do that? Through human power? No. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, they continue to speak the word of God with boldness by the power of the Holy Spirit. So you've got to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. So we have the same group that's filled with the Spirit in Acts chapter 2, now filled again in Acts chapter 4. And then there's this expression about the miracles and the signs and wonders. And all of those things, none of those things happen without the Holy Spirit being at work. But you know what happened? Through this church, through these people, the followers of Jesus, Rome didn't see it coming, but Rome was about to be revolutionized. Okay? I just want to say this. If the people of God in Washington, D.C., there's more churches that are being raised up, there's more prayer movements that are being raised up. How many of you came to this city because you felt like God, let me ask it this way. I'm going to take pressure off of all of you, okay? How many of you came to this city for a job or something like that, but once you got here, you realized it was God that brought you here for his purpose? Raise your hand, okay? All right? Now, how many of you came, even before you got here, you knew you were coming here because God was sending you? Raise your hand, all right? Look at that. That's what I'm saying. God is raising up people, and if we see the Holy Spirit released in this beautiful expression of the church of the Lord Jesus, I'm not just talking about Embassy Church, I'm talking about Restoration Church, Greater Grace Capital City, Grace Covenant, all these places around us. Holy Spirit is released in all of these places around us. Washington, D.C. will never be the same. Will never be the same. You know what my friend told me? He's not my friend in a long time. I only met him reference that when Chris Valentin was here this summer, this brother came to me from Louisiana. He was so empowered with the Holy Spirit that I knew, don't walk away from this guy. Listen to what he has to say. And he came to me, and I just was like rapt attention. And I was like, okay, Holy Spirit, I know you're about to speak. And he says, you know what? When I was coming into D.C. and seeing everything, I saw monuments to dead men everywhere. Monuments to men who are no longer living. They're all over this city, okay? And he says, you know what? The Lord spoke to me. People are not going to be coming to D.C. as much to see monuments of dead people. They're going to be coming to see the living stones of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're called, the living stones of God. The breathing stones of God that are here to pulsate life into this city. And this is what Holy Spirit wants to do. And we need to let go and let God. We need to just say, okay, Holy Spirit, just envelop me, take me, do what you want with me, and let's see what God wants to do in this city. By the way, the city will be better for it. The poor will be better for it. The oppressed will be better for it. Race issues, fatherlessness issues, oppression of women and children, sex slavery, name whatever it is. Name whatever, the corruptness, the pride, all of those things. When Holy Spirit comes, he teaches us about Jesus. We get a relationship with Father, and the whole world is better for it. Can you say amen? So, by the way, I'm having fun, but again, I don't like time. I want to go to heaven. Because you don't have to worry about time in heaven, you know? But I at least have to be somewhat conscious. But what is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in this passage? It says, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they continued to speak the word of God boldly. I'm just going to say this. That's universal acceptance for anybody in the church who believes in Holy Spirit. Anybody. It's like common for people to say, oh, if the result of Holy Spirit is to speak the word of God boldly, that's something we all can agree on, okay? That's something we all can agree on. So I'm just going to say this. This is a universal acceptance. The fruit of the Spirit is a beautiful expression. And the church universally, no matter what the denomination, whether people call themselves charismatic or Pentecostal or not, if they're saying, hey, look, if Holy Spirit comes and we all act more like Jesus and we preach more boldly, then we're all going to be saying amen to that. I'm just saying there's more, but I'm okay to go, hey, if that's the common denominator that pulls us together, let's agree on that. And let's see the boldness come. Let's see the power come. But there are other spiritual gifts, and some of them, I'll be honest with you, and I've said it last week and again this week already, that some gifts are abused. Did you know that there was a guy named Simon in the New Testament who abused the gifts of the Holy Spirit? When he saw the apostles laying hands on people in Acts chapter 8, and he saw them laying hands on people and the Holy Spirit being given to them, he was a sorcerer. And he's like, wow, that's power I've never seen before. I've been dabbling around with the devil all these years. Now I see the true power of God. And he says, I want to buy this gift from you. I want to buy this gift. You know why? Because he wanted to abuse the gift of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit. You know what the apostle said to him? You got problems, dude. You're like really bitter on the inside. You got some real self-esteem issues. I don't know. Did somebody like say something bad? You need to be healed first, okay? So before you operate in the spiritual gifts, just go ahead and be healed. That's what they're saying to Simon. But and so they said, may your money perish with you, right? Like, you know, and so here's the deal. It's abused, but that doesn't mean we don't use. Amen? What is abused? We have this from God. We need to do it. All right, so let's go on. I'm okay. Acts chapter 2, here's the one I was referring to, verse 1 through 13. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind that filled the entire house where they were sitting. That was a manifestation. By the way, in the rest of the gospel, or the rest of the book of Acts, they don't have this manifestation. So what I'm saying to you is that when Holy Spirit comes, Holy Spirit is not going to create a formula for you. Holy Spirit's not going to come and say, this is the way you experience me all the time. By the way, there have been times when I've gone up and I've said, look, I want Holy Spirit to give me a new, fresh anointing. I did this at who's the healing evangelist, Joe, that you guys are doing the teaching in Jessica? Randy Clark. I went up, Randy Clark was saying, you want a real anointing? I went there and I just said, I want everything that God has for me. And he put his hand on me, and I got knocked down to the floor, but it didn't seem like it was in the power of God. It was in the excruciating love of God from the cross. And I physically, began and spiritually and socially began to get in touch with the cross like I never have before in my life. I literally started praying, Father, why did you do this? Why did you give your son to this? Jesus, why didn't you just take the easy road? And I know the answers to those questions theologically, but my soul was crying out for an experience. I needed to experience the cross, not just know it here, but experience it here. And I'm laying on the cross, and literally I feel pinned to the ground, and I'm groaning and moaning, and I'm thinking to myself, people are probably think I'm crazy, and poor Jeanette is praying for me next to me. Oh, God, please take care of my pastor, God. Please take care of my pastor. And I'm sitting there going, God, this is embarrassing, you know? And so here's what I'm saying. That's why some people don't want Holy Spirit, because they're like, but you know what? Jeanette doesn't think any less of me now. And the people there, they recognize there's a different thing the Holy Spirit is doing. And so ever since then, I've been praying, Jesus, you, the reason why you went to the cross is for the joy set before you. So ever since then, I've been praying more than I've ever prayed it before. Jesus, I want you to have more joy. I want you to have more joy because the cross was for the joy set before you, for people to come in relationship with you. If there's anyone here this morning who's not in relationship with God, you don't need to stay there because Jesus gave his life for you. He shed his blood for you. He went through all of the shame and pain that a human being could go through, and he did it for you so that you don't have to pay for your sins. He has already paid for your sins. He's paid for every one of them. Past sins, present sins, future sins. All the sins that you have and ever will commit, Jesus paid it all so that you can be in relationship with him. And it's his joy when you come into relationship with him. He says, the cross was worth it. The cross was worth it. Everything I went through was worth it for this person to be with me in this life and for all eternity. And so I'm praying, Jesus, I want my life to bring you joy, but I want salvations to bring you joy. I want you to have more salvations in this city than you've ever had all over the world because it brings you joy and you deserve it for everything you went through on that cross for us. Can you say amen? All right, so, all right, here we go. Read the rest of this on your own. All right, it's just amazing. They spoke in other tongues, and they spoke in languages that were known at that time. And so, there's amazing manifestations that happen. You know, Pastor Jack Hayford was on a plane. Maybe you heard this story told. Pastor Jack Hayford was on a plane, and the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, turn to the man sitting next to you and begin to talk to him in tongues. I'm almost praying, God, please never say that to me. Because I don't know if I have the courage to do that. And then I remember that the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit is to give me courage. It's to make me bold. So now I'm praying, God, whatever you want me to do, just cause me to do it. I know they'll be okay and I'll be okay, right? And so he just said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do this. And he turned to the guy and he started speaking to him in this new language that God had given him. He started speaking to him in tongues. And then he asked the guy, do you recognize what I just said? He says, yeah, but I don't know how you know what you just said. I'm a Native American, and you just gave a Native American nursery rhyme. Do you love how God speaks to people? He lets them know that I love you like a baby, like a brand new boy baby, and I'll care for you like that. And this man had a revelation of God. See, this is when the signs and wonders come in. Holy Spirit can do what you can't do. I was in Princeton, New Jersey, my home church that I grew up in, Princeton, New Jersey, right across the street from the university. And there were people that were praying in the Holy Spirit in the language that God gives. And a woman came in Sunday after Sunday, and as soon, even before the service was over, she would leave out of the service. None of us could ever go back and say hi. And then one Sunday, she not only left, she came running up and said, I want to meet this lady, I want to meet this lady. And she was speaking only in Spanish. And we realized that she had been here as a visitor in the U.S. and was only here for a short time and didn't speak any English whatsoever. But she sat in that service Sunday after Sunday because she loved the presence of God. Didn't understand the words, but she experienced the presence of God. But this one Sunday, a woman stood up who had never learned Spanish, stood up and gave a message in another language, the Holy Spirit language, supernatural language, and it was all in Spanish, and it was talking about how great God is and how Jesus is coming soon, and we need to be ready for him to come back. And this woman came up and said, you're speaking my language, you're speaking my language. This has happened in Tagalog, this has happened in other languages. It doesn't mean this is always the purpose for speaking in these kind of new languages. In fact, there were some missionaries after Azusa Street that went to China, and they went up, walked up to Chinese people, Mandarin speaking. started speaking them to them in tongues, and the people looked at him saying, I don't understand a word you're saying, okay? And so there's different reasons for us to receive the gift of tongues. Some of them are evangelistic. Some of them are ministering to us. We'll get into that in just a minute. But we can never deny the power in our lives and in the lives of others when we allow Holy Spirit to speak through us. Can you say amen?
Amen.
All right, let's read this. 1 Corinthians 4. And I gotta really kind of get to the end of this. But help, you know, just, yeah. Cheer for me right now. Oh, you can do it, you can do it. All right. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. That says 4. It's chapter 14, verse 4 through 5. It says, the one who speaks in a tongue builds up himself. You know, some people are like, oh, I don't think tongues are for everyone. I'm just going to say this. I don't argue with it. I go, look, if you're all about Holy Spirit's going to bring you boldness, and Holy Spirit's going to give you the ability to continue to speak the word with boldness and all that, then go ahead and experience Holy Spirit in that way. But I'm just saying this. If the prayer language that God gives you, if it's not for everyone, why does the word of God say it builds us up? Why would one believer be built up and another believer would not be built up? Are you following my line of reasoning? So there are some people, I believe, from their own experience and pressure that people have maybe too much focus on tongues and things like that. I get that. That's all sociological and it has a spiritual application. I get that. But the reality is that tongues build us up. And so I'm going to say this. If tongues edify you, if tongues strengthen you, if tongues build you up, then why not have that manifestation of the Holy Spirit? But then it goes on to be really practical and really, really honest. But the one who prophesies builds up the church. So you're built up through tongues, but the whole church is built up through prophecy. So it puts tongues in the right perspective. Important for all, but not the greatest, okay? Because it might encourage you, but it doesn't encourage the whole church. And we want to encourage the whole church. Amen? And then Paul says this, now I want you all to speak in tongues. Do you see that? Now I want you all, I didn't know he was Southern, but that's a Southern expression. Now I want y'all to speak in tongues, okay? That's the way I read it in my mind, you know? I want y'all to, you say you all. If tongues was not for us all, why would Paul want all of us to speak in tongues? It's almost like kind of offensive. I want y'all to speak in tongues, but not all of you can. I'm just saying that when you read the accounts in Acts 2, in Acts 9, in Acts chapter 10, Acts chapter 19, all these passages, you'll see that there's many manifestations, shaking place, winds, prophecy, all of those things. But a common denominator in all of them is that people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in this expression of speaking in other languages. So I want to say this to you. You might have already been baptized in the Holy Spirit without speaking in another language. I get that. You might have had another experience with the Holy Spirit. But I'm just saying that God has more for you. I'm just saying that you need to receive, because what happens when you receive a prayer language, when you receive this, is that it edifies you, it strengthens you, and it enables you to go beyond yourself physically into the supernatural, okay? So I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. So you've got another kind of expression, by the way, of tongues, which is there's two gifts of tongues? Did you know that? There's one for the church and there's one for you. Do you know that one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is the gift of faith? That means there must be two different gifts of faith. One is the faith for all. All of us are saved by grace through faith. You have to have faith to come to know Jesus, okay? And be saved. But there's another gift of faith that comes for a specific time and purpose. And that gift is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Some receive it at different times, and other times don't receive it. But that's the same with that kind of gift of tongues. But there's a general gift of tongues for all of us. So the one that's interpreted in the church is a different thing for the church. The one that's personal is for all of you. Let me go on. Acts chapter 10. I don't have time to read this on your own, okay? But you see the common denominator right there. It says they know they were baptized in the Holy Spirit, but they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. In Acts chapter 19, I'm hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. So the Holy Spirit's not a formula, but there's common denominator experiences. So the reason why I'm teaching you this is because if you've experienced a revelation of Holy Spirit, an empowerment of Holy Spirit, but you haven't received the prayer language that God wants you to have, the worship language. I'm just encouraging you, that's a common experience in the New Testament. It's for all New Testament believers. All of them were encouraged to experience it. So if you haven't experienced that, I'm encouraging you to say, Holy Spirit, you have more for me, and I want it. Can you say amen? All right. I think we're okay. Purpose of the power, we talked about it last week, to be witnesses. And all those scriptures are there in your notes, okay? You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes out, and you'll be my witnesses, okay? And then how to receive the Holy Spirit. I just want to give you this expression. And you can write this down in your notes, okay? How do you receive the power of the Holy Spirit? Number one, if you're going to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, you already have to have the Holy Spirit, okay? So that's the first word that you fill in your blank. You have to have the Holy Spirit, okay? But you might go, well, what about those people in Acts chapter 10? Peter went to them and preached the good news to them, and they were Gentiles. And it says that while Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in other languages and all of that, and they praised God. And you go, well, they didn't have the Holy Spirit before they were filled with the power. Yeah, they did. Because as they were listening to the words about salvation, they were being saved. And what happened to them, they were so hungry for God that as they were being saved, they were already being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And it almost seemed like it happened simultaneously, but it happened sequential to each other, but so close together, it seemed like it was happening all at the same time. The reality is that while they were responding to the gospel, Holy Spirit took up residence in them, and then they were empowered because they had the next couple of things that we're going to talk about of how to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. Number two is you have to want. You have to want, you have to desire, you have to hunger for the power of the Holy Spirit. You have to want this. That's why I know that Cornelius and his Italian family, his Italiano, his Paisano, the family that were there, that those guys, the reason why they were so hungry for everything that God had, they were hungry for salvation, they were hungry for a relationship with the Holy Spirit, they were hungry for the power of the Holy Spirit. So, number one, you have to have the Holy Spirit. That means you have to be saved. You have to know Jesus. Number two, you have to want the Holy Spirit. You have to want him in your life. You have to want his power. And number three, sometimes you go, this is so simple, but I'm telling you, we miss this stuff. Number three is you have to need the Holy Spirit. Are you saying that we don't need the Holy Spirit? I'm just saying that some people don't know they need the Holy Spirit. You have to recognize that you need the Holy Spirit. I heard one pastor say, you know why some people are not baptized in the Holy Spirit? Because they don't want to be able to witness. They don't really care about sharing their faith with anybody. They're content to go to heaven and to let other people not go to heaven. And that's okay with them. But if you're not okay with that, then you know you need the Holy Spirit. It says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. So if you know you need to be a witness, you know you need Holy Spirit. And number four, this is the most simple one of all. You have to receive the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's why sometimes people pray and they don't immediately get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes there's a timing. It's not just God is ready for you, but God wants you to be ready for him. For 2 years at age 10, I prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know why? I'm going to be honest with you. Everyone else had it, and I didn't. Okay? Not the right reason to want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm like, my sisters got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I didn't. God, I know you love me more than them. I don't get this, all right? So I got an issue. But then at age 12 years old, my dad had an incurable disease. Some of you have heard this story. And I'm sitting there praying, crying out to God, God, please heal my father. And I heard the audible voice of God, not audible in my ears, but somehow deep in my being. Maybe that's not audible. I heard God say, it wasn't just an impression. I heard words, and they were deep inside me. And God spoke to me and said, I'm going to heal your father. And I went to open my mouth to go, yeah, I love you. And another language flowed. Another language just flowed out of my mouth. And I just began to speak in this other language. And you go, well, I don't know if I believe in that. Maybe it was just an emotional thing. I'm just going to prove it to you. I was 12 years old, and I prayed for 2 hours. 2 hours. Show me a 12-year-old that prays for 2 hours. Okay? And at the end, they had to tell me to go. They had to tell me to leave. They were like, hey, you know, you got to go home. You got to go to bed. You got to leave here, you know. We're going to turn the lights out. And I'm looking around going, where's everybody else, man? This is awesome. calling what God, and I'm like praying in the Spirit of God. What I'm saying is that you have to receive it like a gift. And sometimes there's timing. Sometimes people don't give you a gift right away because it's not your anniversary yet, or it's not your birthday yet, or it's not Christmas yet. I don't know why, but you need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. And if it doesn't happen right away, you don't go away and go, oh, God doesn't love me. You go and say, you know what? I know God loves me because the cross tells me that. It's settled. I know God loves me, but I know he has more for me, and I'm going to present myself to him. 10 days. The great apostles of God took 10 days. They didn't get in there and go, oh, he said to go in here and pray for it. And why didn't it happen on the first day? Why didn't it happen on the second day? They prayed in 10 days. 10 days. Why? Because it wasn't the day of Pentecost. See, God is a master strategist. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. Sierra, I needed a law student, a lawyer. You were a law student at Georgetown, Maryland. So I needed somebody to help me with it. But the reality is God's a master strategist. He didn't want to do this until the right time. It was the day of Pentecost. I've seen people in this church be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it's so funny. One young lady came from South Africa. She prayed, didn't seem like anything happened. The next day she went to the hairdresser. She was under the blow dryer, and the Holy Spirit came on her, and she began to speak in other language. And nobody heard her. Nobody thought she was crazy because the blow dryer was taking care of it. What I'm saying is God is going to take care of me. Sabbath Tamam from Nepal was here a few years ago. There's her flag right there, number 4 from the side. Was here from Nepal, and she was praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Didn't seem like anything happened. She went back the next morning. She got up and took a shower, and while she was taking a shower, the Holy Spirit came on her, and for 4 days, she spoke in another language she had never learned. For 4 days, she spoke in that other language. She spoke it on the bus. She spoke it in her class, and nobody thought she was crazy because they knew she was from Nepal. They thought she was speaking in her own language. And so what I'm going to say is this. Holy Spirit will do some strange things with you, but it'll never do some strange things to you. Holy Spirit is gentle. Holy Spirit is powerful, but he's your best friend. He's not just a power. He's your best friend. He will respect and honor you in the whole process. He'll care for you just like the Father cares for you, just like Jesus cares for you. You don't have to be afraid of the Holy Spirit. You can let go. You can do a free fall. Woo, you ready? Here, watch this. Watch this.
Come here, sir.
Oh, want to see a free fall? Here I come, Elizabeth, here I come. Israel got me. Israel got me. Holy Spirit's going to get you. Just let him go. Just let him go. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray, Lord, that you would just be released in this place right now. We pray, Holy Spirit, we don't want to conjure up anything. We don't want to get weird. Sometimes we're so weird. And we don't want to do that. We get so, like, we think it's all our culture that's going to make you come and all of that. But we know it's just prayer. And so, Holy Spirit, for anyone who has you, for anyone who wants you, for anyone who needs you, and for anyone who will receive you, Holy Spirit, just come right now and fill people. Fill people right now with Holy Spirit. Fill people with your power, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Posture yourself however you want, sitting in your chair, kneeling at your chair, standing, being on your face before God, sitting, whatever posture. Just feel free to do that. And I'm just going to invite people who have received the Holy Spirit anew and afresh recently to first of all pray for themselves, that they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, but then to go and pray for others. David, Lusanne, I'm going to ask you to do it. Gary, and Susan, Wanda, Jessica, and Vinny, and all of the other pastors and leaders, just feel free to be released. I know you're holding babies, so I don't know if somebody can hold baby for you, whatever works. Or you hold baby and let Abby pray for people, whatever works. Father, in Jesus' name, we just pray right now that we would experience you, Holy Spirit. There'd be no Christmas without you. And we want Christmas for people that come to our nativity tonight. We want people to know the true meaning of Christmas. We want, Holy Spirit, for you to fill us with your love so we'll love people tonight. That you'll fill us with prayer so we'll know how to pray for people. Prophetic words so that we can speak into people's lives. In the name of Jesus, God, we pray. Holy Spirit, that you would come upon us, that we would be your witnesses at our nativity. We'll be where your witnesses in Columbia Heights and Cathedral Heights, on our jobs and our schools. Holy Spirit, we want you. We want to hurt you as a person. We want your power. Holy Spirit, Father, this is your promise. Jesus, you're the one who said, you're going away, you won't leave us as orphans, but you'll come to us when you baptize us in your Holy Spirit. So I pray that people would right now be baptized in the Holy Spirit of God. I pray that right now people would begin to speak in supernatural languages, that people would begin to prophesy and speak the word of God boldly. I pray that you would shake this place, Father. In the name of Jesus, God, I pray that you would change us, Lord God. Change us, God. Transform us in your presence and in your power, Lord God. In Jesus' name, God. Father, heal Sabrina right now, God. Heal her, Lord, in Jesus' name. Heal her body. Quicken her right now. Let her get up right now. God, I pray for you. Every ministry, God, our children's ministry, God, I pray that you would anoint Alice and Karen right now, God, and everyone that works with them in our children's ministry, that even as we're praying here, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would come upon our children, God, upon our children's ministry team workers, God. Lord, I pray, God, that you would anoint our youth, Father God. We have just a few, Lord, and that, God, you would multiply them, Lord, in Jesus' name, by the power of your Holy Spirit, God. Raise us up, God, to minister for you, Lord, in the power of your Spirit, oh God. In Jesus' name, God. Holy Spirit, come on. Come on, we love you. We want you to come on more in our lives. Come on more in our hearts, Lord. In the name of Jesus, oh God. In the name of Jesus. Hey, you all that are up front, just feel free to go begin to walk and just lay hands on people. I just want to encourage you guys up front, just go ahead and begin to walk out where people are. You see, and Pastor all of you, Stephanie, just go ahead and lay hands on people if you want. Okay? Just lay hands. Just pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to come. In Jesus' name, God. Yes, Lord God. Fill us, Lord God. Fill us, Lord God. Fill us with your power, Lord God. Fill me, Lord God. Prophetic word, God. Every healing, Lord God. Every miracle, Lord. Release the gifts of your Spirit, oh God. In the name of Jesus, God, release miracles, God. Release healings, Lord God. Prophetic words, oh God. In Jesus' name, Lord God. Praise you, Lord God. Yes, Lord God. Hallelujah. Yes, God. Yes, God. Jessica just share with me that there's somebody here this morning who has migraines and doesn't even know what the cause is. And so Holy Spirit is communicating to her that there's somebody here this morning with migraine headaches, doesn't know what the cause is. And we're going to let the Holy Spirit just go ahead and identify that so Jesus can heal that right now. So if that's you, just feel free to get up out of your seat. Come to Pastor Jessica. She's to your right here. Anyone with migraines, if that's you, just move out of your seat and begin to be prayed for right now. Who are we talking about? I just want to see. Anyone with migraines? That's you. Feel free to be obedient to that. Just check with the person next to you. Say, hey, do you have migraines? We'll just make sure that if somebody heard that, you can receive. If the Lord's identifying something, it means that God has something for somebody right now. And if that's them, you can just ask them, is that you? Is that you? Do you have migraines? Feel free to ask the person next to you. Just go ahead and let them be prayed for this morning. Thank you, Father God.